Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Mental Health Check-In with Taliq, your freestyle edition. Today I have special guests, Yvonne and Armad. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I am great. How are you guys?
Blessed and highly favored. What's going on, y'all?
Yeah, they've been guests on my podcast before, so make sure you go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts to check out their episodes, which were great. Today I want to put this freestyle, you know, joint together because I did it in the past and it's always been amazing to do it. And we just go off the head on different topics that we want to talk about, you know, with mental health, today's world's events, whatever is going on, any hot topics. So before we start, I want to ask you guys, I'm going to ask this question. How is you guys' mental health? Whoever want to start first can go first.
It's a good day. You know, it's a good day. Sun is shining. I mean, summer's coming to a close, but it's a good holiday weekend. You know, so I'm in good spirits.
Yeah, I feel great. They let us out early on Friday. I don't have to go to work tomorrow. So it's having a really long break from work. It makes you feel so much better about your life. Like, oh, I don't got to go to that place anymore. Great.
Yeah.
No shades of my job if they watch me. If they're listening.
I mean, yeah, like my job, you know, it's been crazy. I started since we last talked, I started a project management internship, and it's been like really taking a lot of my free time and just weighing crazy because it's like, you know, learning something new. Yeah. And then working with a company that feels as though it just throws you to the wolves and it's a very sink or swim type of atmosphere. And then being the only person of color in this program, it kind of like puts me in a space where I'm like, oh, damn, I really got to be on my shit. So like this 3-day weekend has been a godsend, especially with everything I've had going on like the past couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, that's good. Me, I just want to search for another job because I hate my job. It's so stressful. I come to a point in life where I feel like, you know, at the post office, like, it's not good for my mental health. So I'm just like on a job search, being hopeful that I can find something else. I could be at peace, a job that somewhat cares about your mental health and your well-being. Because the post office, they listen, I don't care. They don't give a fuck at all.
I mean, listen, I grew up with, you know, my parents worked for, my mom worked for the post office for a while. My grandfather retired from the post office. So I understand they will put you through it. Like my grandpa used to have me come up to his job and like beat niggas up in the parking lot for him. That type of thing. Like I know the stuff that goes on in the post office, depending on the type of post office that you work in, whether it's like a regional office or like a smaller joint. My grandpa worked in like a regional office where, you know, the young bulls in there used to try him all the time. So I was like, yo, I'll pull up. What's up? I was like 17 in a parking lot, like brawling 28-year-olds. It was horrible.
Not fighting in mailboxes.
In the parking lot. Mm-hmm. In Belmar, New Jersey. What's up, Belmar?
Let's get to this first topic. I'm going to talk about this topic because I'm tired of seeing it like on social media. I mean, not social media, Philadelphia social media, the gun violence and killing violence in Philly. Like, how do you guys feel about that? Because me, growing up in Philly, you never saw much of it, right? But nowadays, it's just, you see, like, so much gun violence. Kids getting killed, 12-year-olds, 6-year-olds, no matter what the age is. Like, how do you guys feel about that?
I grew up in Philly, right? I grew up between Camden and Philly all my life. I don't know what happened where out of nowhere, it went from shoot me the fair one to niggas actually getting shot. Like, it never used to be that way. It was very much, you had an issue with somebody, y'all threw them hands, and, you know, and that was that. Either y'all never spoke to that motherfucker again, or you just, you know, you fought until, you know, you got your lick back. I don't know what it is with these young, and it's kids that they're like, I saw like a 12-year-old. You know, I have a niece that's 12. That kind of like bothers me because at 12 years old, you like what in the sixth grade? And you out here in the street, like I don't understand it. One. Two, I've always said to these young boys that want to be out here shooting everything up. Number one, your aim is horrible because you're shooting people who don't need to be shot in the first place. The amount of kids that's running around here catching strays is crazy. Two, if you want to go shoot some stuff up, join the military, get paid, learn how to actually shoot something. Make something of your life because you're not going to see 30. You'll be lucky if you see 25. Like this street life, I don't think no one is really explaining to them that like that their lives are very limited in this lifestyle. Like, if you see 30, you're doing something. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess I look at it from through a wider lens. So I kind of think of why are these kids on the street, or why are these young men on the street? Why are there so many shootings? And I can't help but to think it's just kind of like look at the climate we're in terms of money.
Yeah.
People really can't earn a lot of money nowadays unless you're working 2 to 3 and basically backbreaking all day. You have to toil all day just to barely pay your bills. So I look at it this way. I'm like, these people probably are in worse positions than we are, like me, us here, and other people that we may know. And they're just looking for some way to pay their bills, to feed their family. And it's like, to us, it is violence and that we see, but like to them, it's survival. To them, it's we gotta find any way to make ends meet. And the corporate world don't want us. You know, every other person don't want us. We have to make a way. So it's like it's not making an excuse for it, but I try to understand it and just kind of like, but because I understand it one way, it's just kind of like I see simple solutions. It's like give people more work that gives you dignity, that gives you respect, that, you know, puts you in a place where you don't have to struggle anymore. Then you won't have to be on the street. If you have everything you need and then a little bit extra in your own personal life, what's there's no reason for you to be like, oh, let me go out there and go sell this to bro over here. It's like, to me, it's a simple fix. Just corporations and just like society in general just needs to stop being so individualistic and greedy and just share a little bit. And that's it. Like, there's enough for everybody, and that's what gets me angry. And that's for me. So it's like when I hear about gun violence and look at it, I'm like, I look at it through a wider lens because it's just kind of like it's more focused than just those blocks. It's systemic. It's bigger.
And also, it's like a cycle. It's like you look at, you know, people ask where are the parents, and it's like the parents was babies. So it's like babies raising babies that didn't know no better, that have never had any positive influence in their lives.
There people are our when I think about babies raising babies, I'm like, I met our parents were our age with us at certain points. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing right now. So so it's like I understand like why parents are, you know, going through it nowadays because things is much worse now.
Listen, my mom and I are 20 years apart. And I think about it all the time, like, you was 20 years old, married with a kid.
Right, like
Right?
what were you doing?
Because I know me at 20 years old, I was a terrorist. Like, if I would have had a kid at 20,
Oh.
take that child away from me and put me in a
Yeah.
sanitarium somewhere, because I was bananas at 20.
Yep.
So you have that type of generation of people. Of kids raising other kids that have come up, it's like it just blows my mind at times when you think about it in that aspect. It's kids raising kids that did not know no better at all.
Yeah.
And it's like there aren't as many outreach programs, there aren't as many, you know, influences that show these kids that there's things outside of the streets. Like, I know I work, like, the company I work for, they do a lot of outreach as far as like tech and things like that at like Boys and Girls Clubs and Lyft centers and things like that. And that helps. But there's so much more that can be done that, you know, it's the city of Philadelphia would rather put money into building a Sixer stadium in Chinatown than to reopening the 50 million schools that they've closed.
Well, there you go.
You know what
Yeah.
I'm saying? So it's like it has to do with us doing better for ourselves on top of, you know, the city that we're in being corrupt as fuck, you know? Yeah. To me, I feel as though there is no reason that the Sixers need a new stadium in the middle of Chinatown where that money could be used to revitalize public schools in Philadelphia. That could be used to do, you know, just community stuff. Like, I remember growing up in Philly and there was always something to do. Mm-hmm. Always something. Now it's like there's nothing to do but run around, rob, shoot, steal, and kill. And it's like, what is going on?
It's actually sad because, like, you know, like I think I always say, like, it's this generation. Like, I, like, never seen so much killing. Like, I was able to play out in the streets, you know, growing up. I was able to go around the corner. Just, like, I was roaming the streets when I was young, me and my cousins. And like, now, you can't even do that now. I've seen videos, like, online, like, people just, like you say, they shooting with no aim. They just shooting the shoot and everything, missing people. And it's just like really, really sad. I'm just like, where has Philadelphia come to? Because the Philadelphia, like, all my friends that moved to Philly that don't know, really know Philly, I'm like, Philly was never like this. Like, it was never like this.
Philadelphia now is the Bronx in the 90s. Ooh. Like,
you know what? That's what it kind of looked like. Because I remember, like, growing up and seeing on the news all the time, shooting. And I'm like, dang, I remember this as a kid when I was living back home in the Bronx. Like, when the Bronx was burning, and I'm like, this is a, like, fortunately for me, I live in a quiet area in Philly, so, but I'm like, literally on the opposite end of, where I live, it's like, you know, crime central, and I'm like, bro, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what's also crazy is how you see the divide, too. It's just kind of like how it's like, all those problems are concentrated. But if you cross literally one or two blocks over, it's a whole different experience, a whole different tax bracket, it's like, how can you just have these type of communities living next to these communities? Like, and I'm like, and nothing is being done. It's just like, no, as long as you keep the crime over there, we don't care what you're doing.
Like, you know,
like, as long as you keep it all in Kensington, like, if you keep all the crack and all that in Kensington, we're okay. As long as you keep it there, we don't care.
Right. But don't bring that outside. Don't bring that to Fishtown. Don't bring that to Nola. Don't bring that to the, you know, the Queen Village. Like, where I live at, I live off Allegheny, like Ridge and Allegheny. So my complex is gated and it's nice, but you take two steps off the preservation, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, one night I was laying in bed and I heard this noise. And I, you know, how you like half sleep, not paying attention. Yeah. I get up the next morning to start work and I turn on the news. There's a news crew outside of my actual complex because someone got stuck up, stabbed, and shot on the corner. You know, so it's starting to spill out into the otherwise quiet areas. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what folks is going to do because, you know, they're begging people to be Philly cops. Nobody want to be a Philly cop.
Nobody wants to be a cop right now. Like, what's the point? Why am I going to be a cop? To get underpaid, to be overworked, and then to basically always be on this constant state of, well, everybody hates me anyway, so I'm my trigger finger's already being like, ah. It's kind of like, you don't give excuse to cops. And it's like, I'm the son of an NYPD officer, so I know how corrupt them are. Like, I see it firsthand, but at the same time, I also can see it from their perspective. It's like, bro, we just as, like, stretched thin as everyone else. It's just, you know, there's a handful of us that keep making a lot of us look bad. Because it's like, I live also next door to the mother of a police officer, and I met the person. And then it's like, you can always meet good people in all these bad places.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, and I don't want to say I'm not an all lives matter type sounding person. Like, that's not me. But when I see, but it's just kind of like, the older I get, the more I start to try to understand the individual and not the umbrella that the individual's under. So it's right. Like, you know what? I got to start to know people more one on one. It's kind of like, I'll admit this. I'm like, I was always prejudiced against people, like Caucasian people. But because I live around them, I had to force myself to get to know them. Because I'm like, the only way this violence could also stop, like gun violence between, like, within our communities and within the crossing communities, just kind of like, as if I get to know these people. I'm like, they need to understand who I am the same way I need to understand who they are. It's the only way to kind of stop all the violence. Like,
There's so
many different layers to try to bring violence down. It's just kind of like, I can't be to myself. Like, I can't. I have to broaden my horizons. I got to think bigger.
Yeah. You know, like, I grew up around law enforcement. I have uncles that were cops. I have, you know, my parents are in the military. At one point in time, I had aspirations of being in federal law enforcement. So it's like, I take law enforcement as they are. I try to, you know, I understand that everybody has the potential of being an ancient person.
Because they part of the gun violence, let's keep it real.
Right. Be very clear. They're very much a part of the problem, but not. I don't broadbeat all cops are bad, because I grew up around police officers that were dope. You know what I mean? They were in the community making sure everybody was looking good or doing well, I should say. Mm-hmm. But that's also like, they were black cops, they weren't white cops. So that's kind of different, where, you know, they would see us not being knuckleheads, but just saying, hey, listen, this is what's going on around you. Y'all better.
And they try to look out for you, especially for the kids. I remember I was caught smoking right outside my house, and a cop pulled up and he was like, I'm gonna need you to put that out because there's kids over there, not even trying to lock me up. Just, I'm gonna need you to put that out because there's kids. And then he went about his business.
Yeah.
It was a cop of color, but I'm like, a Caucasian cop. I know they were.
You'd have been in jail.
I know. Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, I grew up between Philly and Jersey, and going on the Jersey side of things, it's like night and day. You know, it's, you know, 5 to 10 white people per one black person. So
when you have people police in the community that kind of look like you and look out for you, that violence won't happen like that. Because when you know the cops is coming, yo, like, my bro's coming, like, yo, don't do that. Or like, they'll just look out for you, or they try to put you on, like, yo, you know what? Instead of going and selling over here and shooting this person over here, why don't you come ride with me? Come see what I do. Maybe I could get you an internship. Like, you know, like, that's what I mean. Like, build those connections. Like, really. Right. Like, people just need to start communicating. Like, I can't enough communication.
My
the key to save everything. Like,
my uncle was that type of cop. You know, he was a Cherry Hill police officer for, you know, 20 plus years. One of the first Cherry Hill police officers of color that, you know, had a very big grip on my upbringing and how I came up, and how, you know, it's about a community thing. You know, it's about how you are looked at in your community, how you reach out to others in your community, how, you know, just because you take 10 steps forward doesn't mean you can't reach back and bring other people forward with you. You know, that is something I grew up seeing in my family a lot. It's, oh, I get on, we all get on. Or who needs this, who needs that? My uncle was someone who definitely put people on in the community, put people in places like school boards where there were no Black people. You know, look people out as far as being Black and being a teacher in the community. Because again, that matters, seeing yourselves in these places, in these spaces that are predominantly white. I didn't have a Black teacher until I was well in high school. And I wasn't even in Jersey. I wasn't even in Philly. You know, I moved to South Florida and everybody was either white, Cuban, or Puerto Rican. You know, and even then, the teachers were very much white except for one. And, you know, my uncle was very big on, you know, just putting people of color, not just Black, but also Hispanic, also, you know, people who are different of different faiths, like Muslims and Jews and things like that. Just making sure that representation was all around, and there, you don't have these Black kids in these spaces seeing anything other than white people telling them that they're wrong and not explaining it to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how you go to school and you have that one teacher that tells you you're wrong. And it kind of fucks with you. And he saw just how that was damaging to black boys and girls. And
because they get angry, and then they go home, and they're angry at home. They don't know how to communicate that, and then they say and they communicate that through physical aggression. Then you go outside, you meet bro puts you on. Now you're getting violent. Literally, it's so quick just to fall down that pipeline, like, so quick. Then you end up on the 10 o'clock news because you either shot somebody or got shot by somebody. Like,
film at 11. And that's hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's true. It's very easy to just get caught up in that. You know, I have cousins who are scholars and, attorneys and CFOs and presidents of insurance companies that are out here doing things that came from nothing. But then I also have, the other side where I got family that are strict niggas. So it is what it is, but you try to talk them out of being in that street shit, because it's like, dog, you 25, you owe me at this point. Someone's looking to get you up out of here. You're not going to see 30. What are you doing? Like, I have a cousin now that is kind of starting to see that. And I'm like, and I say all the time, like, yo, I'm proud of you, because look around. Look at everybody.
You have to come to that realization on your own. Someone, you're never going to listen to somebody telling you you need to do better. How many times your parents can tell you don't do this and you did it anyway? You have to come to the realization yourself. So once somebody is done with the streets, they're going to be done with the streets. It may take longer for other people. They may take them till they're in their 50s, but eventually they leave the
street. If they make it there. It's like us having a time, like, yo, bro, look at everybody you was out here with. You literally the last man standing. Everybody else is either in jail for the next 40 to 50 years, or they pushing up daisies. What are you trying to do?
Right. I'm like, and being the last man standing is not the flex you think it is.
No, it's really not, because you have no friends. You can't trust nobody. And even then, it's like, he don't date nobody because he's scared of being out here in the street and someone that he has feelings for catching one of his strays. Like, you don't have no kids.
Yo, imagine being like that, and you so paranoid that you probably think the chick is being sent by your ops. Like, you could be that parent. Like, I couldn't live.
You can't trust nobody. You can't bring nobody. Like, that's not the type of life I want
to
live.
That's the crazy part, because like, sometimes it's crazy to think like that. You could be even like, that's like if I'm friends with somebody that's on the street or something like that, and I'm always worried, like, if I'm with them in the car, like, what if somebody like shoot at them while I'm in here? They don't care nowadays.
My favorite thing to say to people, to folks like that, because again, I'm friends with niggas that street niggas, because again, you grew up with these folks, but, oh, where y'all going? All right, I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, let me ride with you. Nah, bro. And they understand, because they see me with you. I might catch it. Like, I have things to lose, sir. I'm not trying to be out here in these streets, right, in white outlined in chalk and yellow tape all over the place, because I was hanging with your goofy ass.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I get that. Let's go into this next topic, right? Let's go into mental health disorders. I want to ask you guys, like, what are some type of mental health disorders that you struggle with?
Disorders? I mean,
or issues. I want to make sure I say that right there.
Okay. For me, I don't talk about this much, but I have two parents that suffer from bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
So them being diagnosed later in life, it's kind of like I've had to, now in my 30s, just go over everything, go replay certain aspects of my childhood where I could clearly say, damn, this happened because of my parent at this particular point in time was manic and things weren't making sense. Mood swings were attempting, but my parents did the best that they could with what they had, or with what they were working with. Not me getting on here and saying that my childhood was in any way like horrible or traumatic, or I was an abused kid, but it's now knowing what that is as an adult, seeing it in yourself and realizing, oh shit, that's what this was. Now I have that explanation that I never got as a kid. And now I've held this resentment for so long, I have to give my parent grace for this particular situation. That has been kind of hard, along with recognizing that in myself and having to keep myself out of going into that type of headspace, because I know I have bipolar disorder. However, I try to keep myself, not busy, but just recognizing what my triggers are when I'm starting to go into a manic state or just going to a dark place. That's why I work out like I do. Like, working out has probably been the best thing for me, because I feel like once I've seen what medication can do, and it takes a long time for that individual to get the right medication and get their medication together. And that whole process is crazy. I would write, you know what? Just give me my 2 hours in the gym a day after work, after whatever traumatic situation, or not traumatic, but whatever situation that bugs me, and I'm literally fine. And that kind of works for me.
What I'm dealing with right now mentally is age. And when I say age is, we are at that age where our parents and a lot of people are getting older, and a lot of people are starting to either get sicker or they regret, you know, regret passing. So it's just like I'm mentally just grappling with the fact that, you know, people are just not going to be here for much longer in my life. So it's just kind of like you kind of just you ignorantly go every day throughout life, genuinely taking people for granted. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, and now I'm starting to realize it's just kind of like people are going to start going. So whoever I do have left, I've got to start appreciating these people more, because it's just kind of like I haven't dealt with death like that throughout my whole life. But recently, in the past couple of years, it's just, it keeps closing in. So trying to reconcile with all those different emotions is been challenging. But it's like everything else in my life feels like it's just great, like it's under control. It's just that one aspect is just, I feel like it's weighing so heavy because it's just too close to them. So yeah. I don't have any advice on how to deal with it yet, because I'm currently still dealing with it. So it's like I myself don't know what I'm still feeling, because it's like, even talking about it now, I just feel this knot just like right here in the center of my chest. And it's like, I can't explain what this feeling is. I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's regret. I don't know if it's, you know, anger. I don't know what these feelings are. It's all, but I know what's making me feel this way is just thinking about me getting older. Every year I'm getting older. This person is also getting older, and I know they don't have much more to go. So it's just like, I don't know, you know, like, dealing with the idea of knowing that grief is coming is what I'm trying to wrap up.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, I know grief is coming, and it's almost like I'm trying to brace myself for it, and I don't know how.
Yeah. You're like, you can't.
Yep.
Like,
that's how I feel.
2 weeks ago, my uncle passed away. And
so sorry for that.
It's hard, because this is someone that I grew up with, I've gone on vacations with. Like, I grew up, like, I know who my parents are. I grew up with my parents around, but at one particular point in time, my dad would just ghost him. He was gone. So throughout my, you know, late childhood and teenage years, I kind of just collected random father figures. And my uncle was very much one of those people for me. The thing that's hard is, he's in that generation of people that I looked up to. Like when people say I stand on the shoulders of giants, he was one of the giants whose shoulders I stood on. And it's hard seeing my cousins grief with their particular unit's patriarch not be here. Because he's always like, you never look at someone one day and just think, oh, he's not going to be here tomorrow, or he's not going to be here Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And him and my grandmother is older than him. And anyone that knows me knows my grandma is that's my heart. That's my safe space. That's my everything. Like, you know, when something good happens, she's the first person I call. When I want to cuss somebody out, they're getting on my nerves, grandma, I'm like, that's the person I call. I don't call my mom. I call my grandma. My grandma is like everything for me. So now that she's 80, that kind of just, I'm making more of a point to spend that time. To, hey, how are you? Talk to her every day. Make sure she's good. Make sure that my younger siblings are doing just the same as well. Because for them, this is our only living grandparent that we had. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let's make sure that her later years aren't one where she's reaching out to people to be seen, to be heard, to, you know, I never want my grandmother to open her mouth and say, you niggas don't come see me. You know what I'm saying? I want her to say, why y'all here? Can y'all leave?
Right. I'd rather hear that. You're right.
then I don't see you. So it's just, you have to just make it a point to let them people know, give them flowers while they're here. And that's and I get that's hard. That anxiety is just, it sucks.
It is.
Because you like things that are certain in life, that is something that is certain.
Yeah. My stuff that I go through is I was diagnosed with PTSD and borderline personality disorder. And you know, like when I got diagnosed and my therapist explaining PPD and everything, and not just him, just like this book that I read called Echoes. This is a book of like of different authors in there that have been through sexual abuse. And talking to some of them, I realized like growing up, like after my sexual abuse, some stuff that I was going through was because of borderline personality disorder. And I feel like as an adult now, like it's like more like aware sometimes, like when I'm going through episodes where I'm just like, you know, going through it. And like a lot of people don't get that part, that BPD leak. That a lot of people don't get it. It's people that's like really, really close to me that get it. And like if I'm going through it, they be like, you know, this is not telling something, this is you know, BPD. And sometimes I can understand or check myself in that situation, like, okay, maybe that was a little too harsh when I said this. Okay, maybe this was a little too much, you know, why am I thinking this way? So like only thing I can say is therapy for all anything mental health, like therapy. It may be t a hard time to find a therapist, but you know, keep trying. There is a therapist out there for you. And I agree with Armand with the medication thing. You know, I tried different medication and that shit made me feel horrible. Like one time, one made me drowsy, one just messed me up a lot and everything. The only thing that I tried that helped that I need to get back on, I was microdosing. It's not for everybody, but microdosing for me was amazing. I was these gummies and it just made me feel good. Definitely need to get back on it, but you know, go ahead.
I love a good gummy. Let me tell you about that. When we're done this, I have my gummies sitting on my countertop waiting for me. I'm going, grabbing them that pack of gummies, taking a pre-workout and hitting the gym. Again, do things that like working out increases my serotonin and just the best thing in the world. And now I've discovered spin classes. That's Oh my God, it's the best feeling in the world,
Why are
especially
you at
when
a spin class right now?
get
Go
your
ahead.
ass in. When I tell you,
I go running. I'm good. I'm a stick to that.
it's the best thing in the world. Like, I'm so grateful my cousin put me on to doing spin classes because one, I can zone out, get the sweat, get that serotonin level. But then when the
I don't like
pre-workout,
working out with you. I don't.
I mean, you done once and never came back. I'm waiting. Like, listen, the door's always open.
I sure did not. Me working out so hard that I want to throw up, like actually, I was nauseous. I was like, oh no. And I was sore for like a week. I was
I'll tell you what, though, when that was 2.5 years ago. Now you could probably keep up.
I could probably keep up now, yeah, but
Yeah.
back then, no way.
You was brand new to gym life then, but
I
now
was.
you could definitely keep up.
To roll up that day. I was like, I literally came home. I was like, you trying to get me. Yeah.
My next discussion, right? This next topic, where I love this topic. You know how like us, you know, in the community get judged, right? You know, let's talk about the judgment within the gay community. You know, let's talk about that. You
How
know,
much time we got? Because at this point,
right, I'm just telling you.
let's talk about it.
I mean, for a community that doesn't like to be judged, we are some of the judgiest people. Like, ooh, look at her shoes. Ooh, look at his neck. His nails are dirty.
But
Oh,
if
he's
his
fat.
nail's dirty, for real though, you really gotta clean it, everybody. Just baseline. Let's.
Well, it's a way to go about it. You know, it's a way to tell somebody.
Well, now
Listen.
you're hearing it now, folks. Gentlemen, please clean your nails
Clean your
respectfully.
nails, please, because why are you touching me with them dirty fingers? Why do your fingers look like they've been in, like, no. Like, there are certain things that are judgy, but it's judgy that makes sense. Like, why do you look like you literally just got out the house?
Says he
You
like
just roll out of bed and you out here in these people's bar and club looking like a dirtball.
yeah, you know, I guess where I get because I will fully admit I am a gay that can regretfully be judgmental. I can admit that. But my judgment, I always want to say, and this is not an excuse, and I know this is me trying to cover it up. I say that it's me looking out for my fellow gay. Because this is kind of like my saying is the only time I judge is if I feel like you present yourself one way, but I know you can do better, or I
Better,
know.
right.
Or I know, like,
I see
this isn't your best. You're
the
not presenting yourself at your best right now. So anytime I tell somebody, it's kind of like, listen, yo, and Armand, I've told you this so many times, like, why are you wearing this? Like, take this off, change this, do something that, like, my judgment
potential. I'm
comes from, like,
impressed.
it's love. It's like, nah, I know you can do better than this. Go back into
But
your
see, I feel
relationship.
like when you've judged me in the past, it's always been out of encouragement,
And
never
that's what
been.
it is. It's like I know I'm judgmental, but I'm always trying to look out, and I've gotten better with my verbiage to make it not sound so nasty. Now
No, it
it's
doesn't.
like, okay,
It's
now
not
I
nasty.
can
It's just the BX in you because you'd be like, "Bitch, what the fuck is this? Like,
say.
what are we doing?" And I'd just be like, "Damn, it's fuck me." But when was the last time you had to say that to me? Not in a very long time.
Not in a long
Good.
time. Not in a long time. Every time I say it's like, wow, look at
Well,
this.
we just had this conversation. Remember you when you talk about like resume wise, you was like. You can help people and stuff like that. People might take it the wrong way. I'm just like, as long as in a helpful manner, like I
As
was.
long as it's constructive and I don't feel like it's being disrespectful and I want to like swing
Right.
on somebody, I'm good. Like I've never gotten from you, like, damn, this bitch really came for me. Like, what the fuck? Like, I've never gotten that when you've said things to me. And I've known you long enough that I know it's out of love and never been out of like, oh, I don't fuck with him. Let me
That is,
just.
just my love is aggressive, and I can admit that. Like,
It's like, let me beat you up with my love real quick. And
and
that's.
right, and that's like a good way to explain it. It's just kind of like I just love real hard. Like,
Bash you over the head with
sometimes
it.
some people need that, you know, sometimes, but I guess some people, you know, it's ways you gotta deal with people sometimes.
Everybody needs it
Yeah,
sometimes,
but
but
some
I
people
feel
can't take
like
it. Some people can't take it. Yeah,
exactly. For me, I've been in situations, I've been in friendships where it was a shallow thing where I was being judged out
You
of.
know what? You know what? Not even to interject, we were talking about that friendship just last night. It was me, Ray, and Mikey. We were talking about how that person that starts with an I was literally just ripping you to shreds. And I was like, when they were telling me these things, and I was like, why? In my head, I was like, why was Armand still like, why did you stay friends with that?
Again, my mental health was not the best at that particular point in
And
time.
you know what? And I respect that.
And it was just very much that friendship was, I was friends with somebody who wanted to be friends with everybody.
Yeah, they were.
And
Yep, that's exactly what they were saying. They were like that person.
the issue was, let me tear him down to make myself look cool to these outside people that have not known me as long as I've known him. But the bad thing was, is we were all out together somewhere. I got up to go to the bathroom and I'm in the bathroom pissing and my phone is ringing, goes to voicemail. And I pick up the lip, like, why is he sending me a voicemail where I'm literally less than 100 feet from you in a bathroom and y'all are on my voicemail talking about me. First of all,
The gays
and
at
even now,
it.
let me just say now, thank you so much because now I look way better than you. My
Oh.
body is more snatched than yours. You understand what I'm saying? I don't gotta wear Under Armour under all my clothes to hide the fact that I'm bust. I look like a busted can of biscuits. Yes. But
No.
at the same time, now it hurt my feelings then, but I'm glad that it happened now because now, one, I see you for who you are. One, two, it was the spark that I needed to get my ass in the gym because admittedly, I had been going through some things and I let myself go.
Right, but we also don't want to become, we don't want to become the person that got that made us change in the first place. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would never like, I would never want to become my bully after being bullied.
Right.
You know what I
And
mean?
I think also. I guess just for me, it's like when I'm judgy, it's like, let me keep my mouth shut because I don't want to say anything. I can think it all day in my head. Like, ooh, why you got the tube top on and you were 800 pounds? If you like it, I love it. If you wearing it with confidence,
go on. I never look at it like my thing is just kind of like if you. I know you can do better than this. It's just like, and not to kind of like, yo, your fit look crazy, like it's dull. Change, because I know you could do. Like my thing is never about, I guess, the person's size. It's more so like anybody at any size could dress any type of way. But it's just kind of like, don't like if you crazy skinny, you know how to dress. If you big, you know how to dress. If you in between, you know how to dress. But I'm like, but always dress your best. It doesn't matter right. what's always dress your best, and that's what I always try to focus on. It's always like, I don't care what. Size you are, I don't care with none of that. Why are you wearing this boring outfit? Like, why yeah. that outfit? Like, why are you not wearing these colors? Why are you not experimenting with these looks? Like, that's where my judgment always comes from. It's like, screw the size. Why that outfit look boring? Like, we right. going out here. Why
but you know what? Also,
like, you going shopping at 7-Eleven? No, go back in, put on some colors. Let's go out. Like, we going like. Don't be
because I remember coming to your house and he was like,
no, bro, be the best looking you can be right now because I'm out here trying to look my best because like I don't wanna just looking your best just makes you feel good. It makes you
right.
feel good. It does something to your mental health. So I always try to address that part because I'm like, if you at least know you're my fit fire, it's gonna give you some confidence in your head. It's gonna make right. you feel good and you're gonna walk taller, your shoulders, your chest gonna poke out a little bit because you feel better about yourself. So I always try to get at least somebody to feel baseline that, yo, at least I know I got my fit. Even if they feel insecure about themselves, nah, but your fit's good though. And then it's going to make them think, you know, maybe I do look good. Maybe I'm the, that's right. what, that's how I'm always like, that's where right. my judgment be coming from. It's like, no, bro, like if your fit look boring, you're going to be boring. So let's change that.
I've also noticed though, like the more you get into social, the more with social media, it's, that's heightened a lot of it. It's everybody talking about, oh, you see what he posted, or you see how many likes this one got, or how many views this one got. You know me, I don't give a damn. I'm going to post what I want to post. But I've also come to the realization that a lot of these motherfuckers on these platforms be fucking pump faking. And it's hilarious. Like, that's kind of why I've kind of stopped, not stopped, but just been more cognizant of just how judgy we can be and how so enamored in someone's social media presence.
Yeah,
I'd be. I don't you're be still worried worry about that anymore. Person, but you know that person's a bum in real life, right? No, oh, you got on Gucci belt and Prada shoes.
Bum. We want to change our verbiage. Not a bum. We want to say they are not at the place that they want to be in life.
No, they're not in the place that they portray themselves to be in real life.
But hold on, real quick. So that you said on my about y'all was talking about your friend, whatever like that, you wasn't in the best mental health space or whatever like that. That has actually happened to me with somebody in Philly that I was cool with. And you know, being molested, I just didn't want to be around like, you know, gay people. And then I moved into a house, you know, two other people that was gay and stuff like that. That was the worst experience for my life. It was good. I was one of the people that just want to look out for, be a good friend, look out. And I was being taken advantage of. And that is crazy that you said that. I was just like thinking like, damn, that was me because I was trying to be a good friend. And it just.
Listen, loyalty can be a gift and a curse. And it was just, I was so blindly loyal to this person because this person was what I thought a good friend to me. Because at that point in time, you know, I had lost my actual best friend.
That was a good friend.
Again.
He said the time.
At the time, up until then, I had gone through, listen, I had lost my best friend. I had lost two jobs back to back. Just things were just not going well. And that was like, the turn up friend. Let's go out to the same tired ass clubs every Friday and Saturday night and get drunk off our asses and not think about it. Versus now I have friends that'll say, what's wrong with you? All right, well, how can we fix it? How can we do this? How can we do that? What do you need? I now have friends that poured into me versus took from me. That was kind of like the difference.
No.
But you know, when you're depressed, you do some goofy ass shit. Listen, you'll find yourself sitting around. You'll find yourself being around a whole bunch of clowns driving the fucking little clown car.
No, I get it. I was that ride or die. I think when I realized like I was in that ride or die, it's like they got into something downtown in the neighborhood, And I was like, I wish I was there. But when they started getting locked up for it, I was like, oh, hell no. I was like,
no, we don't do jail. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, when you're in friendships that start to, you know, it's like, wow, these motherfuckers really don't fuck with me. Or this motherfucker really don't fuck with me. Or, damn, he means me no well because you don't even take care of my name when I'm not in the room.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that about me is as long as I've known Ivan, Ivan can leave the room. So let somebody say something sideways, don't talk about my friend.
Yeah, I don't. You at first, you know, you see, I go hard for my friends. Like, don't. I'll talk shit about my friends.
But I can, but you can't.
Yeah, y'all can't because I know them. So the shit that I'm talking is real.
Right.
I don't know them. Don't
and talk even about them. Yeah, right. Anything I will say about you, I have said to you.
Right.
And vice versa.
Right.
It's never, I can't stand his fat ass or, this skinny bitch get on my nerve. It's never that.
Yeah.
I will never pick you apart. And then you come back in the room, me smiling your face like I wasn't just kicking your back in. That was when I realized, oh, that's not really my friend. And it took me not being this person's friend and then me seeing other people that knew me in that situation. Oh, you're not, I'm so glad you ain't friends with him no more. Someone could still walk up to me and literally shake my hand and congratulate me for not being
that. People say that to you, that's how you know it's bad.
I've been told that too about this person. And they were like, yo, like a lot of stuff that I thought was true, a lot of people had told me wasn't true. I was like, damn, like I was really that friend that believed and ride or die that this shit was all lies.
Listen, I done been in your house, ate your mama's food, you know.
Was the food good?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as it was good.
You know me and my palate, if the food's busting, it's gonna be busting. I might break bread with an enemy if the food's busting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you know, it's like now it's I could see that individual on the street and just be like, damn, I was down bad.
You come a long way where you just look back like,
like I don't even want to fight, I don't want to address right. Your crap. Like I could speak and smile in your face, but it's like now, back then, I've grown so much from that person because old me, man, I had to bust my ass on that time,
yeah. But let's get into the next topic, right? I don't know if everybody know about this. I think Toyo Boy, Deshaun Robinson was a student at Cannon Lake Middle School. He died because he didn't have the right uniform on, and his gym teacher made him run in the heat. Did y'all hear about that?
No? Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, y'all didn't hear about that? Yeah. Where was it at? In Canyon Lake Middle School. I don't know where exactly that was at. But he didn't have the right uniform on and the gym uniform, and they made him run in the heat and he wound up dying.
Oh, so pretty much that school system needs to pay that boy's family out their asses, one. That gym teacher needs to be arrested. Well, first of all, he needs to lose his job, lose his pension, lose his benefits. Be arrested because that's child endangerment.
Wait.
Why are these kids outside in that type of heat in the first place?
Triple digit heat. Yeah, they said that he was told to run. He had no. He was dressed for gym. He was told to run, and he died in that heat.
Wait. No. So was he told to run as part of the regular gym curriculum, or was
it punishment?
As a punishment?
No, just the gym class because they told him to still run because he didn't have a gym clothes on.
No.
But you always have to get as much information as you can before you formulate an opinion. But so was that done as a punishment or was it just done like, oh, you don't have your uniform, but just go run anyway? Was it done like that? Because if it was done that way, I don't think that necessarily was malicious. But if it was done on some punishment stuff, like, oh, you don't got no stuff, go run. I'm like, that might be a problem. But if it was regardless. A regular gym, if it was just part of the gym class and the day was running and he told him go run, I would need to know what the cause of death was before
I formulated. No, I just need to know why do you have these kids outside in triple digits?
The article said that the nephew wasn't dressed appropriately for gym class and as a result he was told to run. He's reaching out.
Yeah, that's punishment. Absolutely not. Okay, so everybody's going to jail.
He said he was reaching out to the teacher, saying he needed some water. He said he couldn't breathe. He was telling the kids this and everything.
Jail. Electric chair.
And then he made attempts to be like, hey, bro, I'm thirsty. Yeah. Okay. Jail. Yeah, so, you know, not, you have a, that's grounds for termination. That's
it's grounds for jail. Under the jail.
Yeah, because especially that if it's like, oh, he already told you he's thirsty. He's already telling you.
Right, that's endangerment of a minor. That's child abuse.
Yeah, triple
digits. He needs to go to jail.
Oh, wait, the temperature was triple digits?
Why are they outside in the first place?
Wait, triple?
Triple digit heat, they should have been indoors.
Oh, yeah. Indoors. Oh, yeah. That's murder. Never mind. Now that you said that, wait, I didn't hear the temperature. Yeah, that's attempted murder. That's murder. Yeah. I thought it was like an 80, 90 degree, and I'm like, oh, okay, no. Oh.
Let me say this. I was in the military, right? Yeah. Anytime the temperature reached a certain, you know, degree, I think it's like over 90. It's called Black Flag. If it's a Black Flag day, you're indoors. If the military, the Marine Corps is saying it's a Black Flag day, y'all ass is going to be indoors. Why are junior high kids outside?
Yeah. Triple digit. That's, I've never even seen triple digit. I've never felt what a triple digit feels like. So it's like, I can't even imagine what that is.
Yeah.
And for our last topic, right? I'm going to say this for last. You know, it's been a report. Well, it's not reports. This is true. Erica Mena, right, was fired from Love & Hip Hop.
Should have been fired a long time ago.
We're going to get into that. She was fired from Love & Hip Hop for calling Spice Blue Monkey and making monkey noise, right? So there's been like a whole debate on social media. People, you know, defending Erica, not defending Erica. So I just wanted to open up this last part to have this discussion. And, you know, we may have all different opinions about it, but we all respect each other. But this is a topic. A lot of people, I'm going to start off, a lot of people feel like she should have been fired, right? And I get it. She should have been fired. But I blame VH1 because y'all been knew she said this. How long ago this was taped?
Right.
Y'all said this, and y'all just want to fire her now. And I'm not taking that for Erica, but Spice hit. I feel like she hit below the belt, right?
Okay.
I feel like she hit below the belt. And
Erica, yes and
she could have said other stuff, but she shouldn't have said that.
Yes and no. Here's where I stand on it.
Yeah.
Erica Mena has spoken on this particular child and how her child don't like her because of whatever activity she's done. She said it on social. I believe she said it on the show. And Spice said, well, listen, this is what you're doing, hence why your child don't love you. This is why I'm doing what I do, because my kids love me. Period. Right? Now, why she decided to go off and flip a table and be fucking dramatic because Spice came to the table with hardcore facts and regurgitated what she said to, what she said out of her mouth to herself. It only solidifies, one, you're goofy. Two, you can't take any accountability for the shit that you have done. You deserve to be fired. Mm-hmm. Also, have your veneers not clear down your throat for calling a Black woman a monkey while having Black kids.
Yeah.
Also, you're on a show that has a major Black demographic. So that to me says you thought craziness about every Black person you've encountered. Just because you sit on a Black dick don't give you carte blanche to talk shit about Black people. Just because you wear bronzer to run around here looking like you got some that you are Black does not make you Black. And I don't want to say this and make it sound like I'm racist, but I grew up in South Florida. I went to high school in South Florida. I have seen firsthand how certain, I'm not saying all, because some of my best friends, hey Ivan, are Hispanic. And they understand how there is a huge divide of colorism amongst the Latinx community. Especially if you're Cuban, the lighter you are, the better you are. And I've seen Cubans talk shit about other Cubans who are darker than them and call them monkeys. I've seen it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. She deserves to be fired. VH1, I'm willing to bet VH1 and Paramount said, girl, you might not have no job after this airs. So I don't think that this is something that is new. VH1 knew this was coming. Paramount knew it was coming.
It's MTV now. They on
But
MTV.
it's owned by Paramount. They're
Oh,
owned
they
by
don't
Viacom,
play
Paramount,
at all.
whatever.
They don't Paramount. Paramount don't play at all.
No, especially now because they're owned by CBS, and CBS has had some racist shit going on there, racist and sexist shit going on. So they have probably have a zero tolerance policy. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring Erica back 2, 3 years down the line. But it's a reality show. You've seen on these other shows, people get fired and come back. People take a break and come back. I would have liked security to move and let Spice have her way with her.
Yeah.
That's just me.
She'll be
But
okay.
also,
She got the Tubi movie. She'll be okay.
You want to know why Erica flipped that table? Erica flipped that table not because of, not necessarily, it was the comment that made her flip the table, but what was attacked wasn't her son. It was her ability to be a mother. So she felt that her motherhood was being tested in that moment. She's like, "How can you talk about me as a mother?" And started wilding out. And it's just kind of like you pointed out, it's like, girl, you made this public knowledge. Like, you made the fact that you essentially made bad decisions for your kid. And your kid retaliated with not liking you. So when people are like, "Well, Spice shouldn't have brought that up," it's like, yeah, and I said, in a heated moment, bringing up anybody's kid in any context is gonna set someone off. So I get just hearing your child, you're not gonna hear nothing else after that, whether it was offensive, indifferent, you know what I mean? You're not gonna hear that. So I get Erica Deacon losing her stuff, trying to flip the table, but I'm like, one, she didn't say nothing bad about your son. She actually was coming for you as a mother. So it's like, that's why you was mad. And I'm like, the fact that you started sitting here making monkey sounds. You started making monkey sounds. It's kind of like, here's what gets me upset about Spanish people, like, Latinos and Latinas sometimes, being one myself, is that I'm like, you see this brown right here? I'm like, when you do your history, do your research, it's because this is when we were colonized, the Puerto Ricans, when we were colonized and we were intermingled, we ended up like this. So it's kind of like we are all African. You trace our lineage, we are all, if you, especially us with pigment. So when women like Erica, who more than I'm 100% sure has African descent, start saying shit like that, I'm like, oh, so you're one of those. So you're one of those that are ignorant. You're one of those who don't know your history. You're one of those who don't know that. I'm like, especially the tan Puerto Ricans. I'm like, oh, we're black. That's exactly what we are. And I'm like, oh, so you're just gonna deny that.
Right.
So the fact that she's just so ignorant, I'm like, yeah, get her off of the show. I'm like, you don't want ignorant people on here. You don't want racist people on here. You know, this is not the narrative you want. It's supposed to be love and hip hop. Where's that coming from?
First of all, she needed to go when she decided she wanted to have babies with fucking Safari, but that's a different story.
Okay, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. We're not gonna lie and just act like Safari's not objectively a fine man. Okay,
But
I'm
he's fresh off the Cobb
suggesting.
Corny, though.
Agree, but if you remove all of that, I could see why. Because let's be for real,
No, because I still
men
got
like
because.
that are very charming person, especially when you get them off camera. When you get them alone, they very charming in person. So I can see a woman being charmed out her panties by
She
Safari. Let's be
had
for
a
real,
baby twice on
Armand. If
purpose.
Safari came to you,
Yep.
knocking on your door at midnight, talking about, yo, I need to use your phone. And y'all start chatting or stop
No.
playing.
Do you know
Stop.
why? Do you know why? Because
Stop
every time, I
playing.
don't care how cute he is, do you know what
Stop
I think of
playing.
every time I hear this man's name? I think of him doing the robot, standing behind Nicki Minaj to check it out. And this
Yes.
is the most fresh off the cob corny thing I've ever seen in my life.
The check it out
Corny can
song.
make you the ugliest
Okay,
person in the world.
and how many corny have you been with?
Not no corny niggas that's
Yeah,
gonna do the robot
you've
behind Nicki Minaj to check it out.
been with corny. Y'all crazy.
That's all like, this saying. Is us normal.
This is us on a regular basis. But yeah, like she needs to go. Anybody that defends her that has a black mother, a black sister, a black grandmother, y'all need shit be down your back. Cause there is no way. I don't care what, like, Ivan, you know me. You know if you come at me and you take it low, I'm taking you down to hell. But I am never going to take it to a point where I'm coming at someone who, because they are black, because they are white, because they are Hispanic, because they are Asian, because they're Middle Eastern. I have morals, I have couth, I have decorum. And I also know that if I'm going to speak, if I'm having a heated exchange with you, the moment it goes to that level, we're fighting. There's never going to be a...
disengage when it comes. You don't want to know why, because it's like, if you're not even smart enough to have a conversation about like,
right.
race, really, all that stuff, it's like, I can't even fight you because the fight's not even worth it. Because you're not even... You don't even have the bandwidth to continue a conversation on my level. So it's just kind
there's
of...
There's a difference between a conversation
of
rape.
Does nothing. It gives me a bragging right. Oh, I hit somebody that's ignorant. That doesn't do nothing for me. I'm like,
but also it might be the way I look at it. It's a lesson. Oh, you remember that the next time you want to come out your face and call somebody monkey, you'll remember the fact that you missing veneers. You remember the fact that your nose got broke.
All that's going to do to a person that's racist is make them double down on their racism.
Sometimes not.
That's
it
exactly
depends.
What it's going to do. They're going to go back with their little racist friend, and they're going to come right back with tiki torches.
Not tiki torches, Jesus.
You know what's crazy? Growing up, right, that's I argue with females, like, you know, Puerto Rican, Dominican, whatever, females, because they used to be like black, you know, call a girl black bitch. I'd be like, oh, like, why she gotta be?
It do be the women.
Why do y'all gotta, like, you know,
but be the first one to lay up with a black man, though?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm just saying, but especially if the black girls dating a Spanish man that they wanted and stuff like that, they're like, damn, black. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I just, you know, I went to Edison High School for a little bit, not that long, but I used to tell people, like, yo, what the hell? Why do y'all, what the hell is up with that? And stuff like that. And that's why when Erica said it, it was just like, you know,
it wasn't surprising to you.
It wasn't surprising at all.
No, it's never been surprising to me. Because, and even then, and not just sitting here and saying that it doesn't happen on the other side, because it does happen on the other side, but that doesn't mean it is right. And if it had been something on the other side where Spice said something that was racially inflammatory, I would be on the same shit. Like, yo, Spice, you was wrong as shit for that. You was dead wrong for that. You deserve to be fired. You deserve, you know, whatever bad comes. But this is not the first instance in which...
Let's be for real. And this is just, I guess, from what I've seen, which is people of color, specifically black people, when they start insulting people, they really don't come for your race. It's like, I've noticed, it's like people of color won't be like, oh, look at this Spanish, look at this Asian, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I really hear it coming from, I guess it's from the community I be in, like Spanish. I see it coming from a lot of Latinas, like that type of language, that type of verbiage. But then I have to remember, and I'm just going to, my grandfather, love him to death, but Armand, I tell you all the time, my grandfather is a racist.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather is a bona fide racist. And I'm like, and Leek, he's your complexion. And he's like, a whole blown racist, and I'm like, hold up, bro, like, what is that? But that, like, older generations, they were taught the darker you are, the like the bad, like it, the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's even growing up, they used to tell me, like, stay out the sun. You won't get a job if you're too dark. These are what my great grandparents were telling me at the time. I'm like,
wow,
yeah,
and you know,
I'm like, what's the problem? Like, and as even as a kid, I would be like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't make no sense. Even as a kid, I knew. What y'all saying is not, it ain't linking up. Like,
yeah, like the way I grew up with cousins who are darker than me. I grew up with cousins who are lighter than me. So it's like my family is like the whole spectrum of brown, from fluorescent beige to black.
Beige.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like I get very triggered when I'm arguing with somebody and the first thing, oh, you light-skinned bitch. And I'm just like, well, damn. Now, if I turn
that's
around and say something about you being darker than me, you know what I'm saying? Y'all gonna want to come from my fucking head.
Wait, that's what they call you?
I've been called a light-skinned bitch so many times. What? Or why you acting like a light-skinned bitch? Why you, you want some light-skinned shit? What the fuck does that mean? You know what I'm saying? Because now, if
I'd be like, but what I did?
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I can't help the fact that I'm light-skinned anymore, and you can help the fact that you're browner than I am. I've never, in my adult teen years, like, as a kid, like, oh, you're darker than me. Why are you darker than me? Like, you know, that type of naive thing. But I've never said anything about, oh, you're cute for a light-skinned girl. You're cute for a dark-skinned girl. Like, I've never been.
That's wild.
And my thing is, when I dealt with women, you've seen some of the women I dealt with. I've dealt with them light, bright, and almost white and black. So it's like, how I can never bring myself to say you look like a monkey to somebody. That's unless they make it a monkey.
Unless it's an actual monkey. If I see an actual monkey, look at that monkey. It's an actual monkey. I would never refer to a human being as an animal. Right. Like, I would
and my thing is, she did that shit maliciously.
Because you want to know exactly how you coming from behind the car door, like making the sound, like you popping back up like a gopher, like. And I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? And it was like, when I saw the clip, I literally was just looking at it like, is this real? Like, is she really doing this?
Right. I'm like, this isn't scripted, right? Because I said, I was future. Ain't no way. Ain't no motherfucking way.
I will also say, I also commend Spice for, under the circumstances, I feel like she handled herself pretty well.
First of all,
honestly,
you flip a table on me.
You flip a table on me. You coming from my existence as a
person. Right. If you flip a table on me and you won't live to tell the tale. I promise.
Yeah, I think Spice handled herself because Spice could have got ignorant back and she could have said ignorant shit back, but she didn't. She was like, I'm gonna fight you.
Spice ain't gonna do that. You know she Grammy now.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know what? I think she handled herself accordingly.
Pause just a minute. Now, while I am not a love and hip hop connoisseur, I have definitely seen Grace Hamilton fuck up a scene or four.
Yeah, she did. She definitely has.
She's fucked up her own events. She's fucked up a club or two. She's flipped the table. Just with her recent health issues, she may not have been able to.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, but I'm pretty sure under different circumstances, they would have burned that place to the ground.
Well, she wanted to get to her security.
She wasn't trying to fight. I'm saying I respect the fact that she didn't verbally go to the same level
right. That
she did. She was like, oh, screw all that. I want to. I'm glad that she didn't go ahead and try to ruin her image in the same way Erica ruined.
No, Erica, what the hell? And... Spice, like,
I mean, yes,
Spice better because I would have went like me. I know how my mouth is. I probably
I would have got real.
No, she told don't forget the part she said you should have died. That was that was fucked up.
I could live with it. I could live with the you should have died. Huh? You should have died, and I'd have been like, damn, bitch. Because you know, like me, I can go back and forth with the best of them.
Yeah.
And I too am the type of person where I've said some real fucked up shit to people. And it's like you like on the car ride home, like, damn, bitch, you really said that? You shouldn't have said that.
Like that feeling though, where you realize you said you went a little too far. I don't like feeling that. I'm like, damn, I shouldn't have said that. But I apologize. Like,
same thing. She said she fasted for her, and then you get mad and say she should have died. Like,
mm-hmm. Yes.
All that says to me, bitch, you ain't fast shit. You fasting don't mean she went to Chick-fil-A and got fast food. That's what she was doing.
Chicago said, y'all all fasting. No, the hell y'all did.
Chicago is horrible.
Well, why Chicago? She always in the middle of something just looking like as a bot. Like, she would be like, what's going on?
I ain't for that.
That'd be me in every situation. I'd be her just standing there like, yo, what's
happening? What is going on?
Just stuck. And now you're just sitting there like, yo, why am I here?
You know you ain't fast.
No, that was me at the Beyonce concert, honestly. Drunk, not knowing what the fuck is going on. Like, what is going on? But yeah, like, I feel like in arguing with people and engaging with people who are trying to go back and forth, it's you go low, I'm gonna go lower, but I'm not trying to be in the point where I'm in the car like, damn, bitch, you really didn't have to say that. Like, you know, when you had them conversations with yourself, that post bullshit commentary, yeah. Like, you ain't have to go that low, motherfucker. Damn,
I would love to know. I'm like, Erica, did you feel like, were you proud when you closed the door in that car and you were driving off after you said all that? Like, in her head, I'm like, did you feel justified? Like, I guess in my head, I'm like, did you feel any remorse for anything you said? Because it came out so viscerally, like, so pure. Like, it was like, that's how you really feel.
Right. Anybody that
I'm like, do you feel any sort of remorse? Like, do you feel bad for that? Like,
if she does it, because this isn't the first time that she's done it on camera.
Yeah, but I was like, your child gonna see you on TV talking like that, yeah, essentially about him. So it's like, oh, okay.
Here's what I do say about reality stars with kids. Now you're gonna have to put your kid in the school away from Black kids. Because now every Black woman that has a child that goes to school with your kids, no one's going to want to play with your kids. No one's going to want to be around your kids. No one's going to want to include your kids in anything.
That's the kid with the racist mom.
Right. And nobody want to be cool with that. Now you're opening your kid to being beat the fuck up in school. You're harassed.
Oh my God, imagine growing up. Who's your mom? Erica Mena. Oh my goodness, nowhere.
Now she's gonna have three kids that don't love her.
Oh, listen.
I'll be so tight. Oh man.
Can you imagine just doing the most on fucking TV just for your kids to not like you because you're a racist piece of shit?
Yeah.
A racist clout chasing piece of shit. Because to be honest, what does this woman do other than show her ass on fucking TV? And then even then, like, you've been on
one song, right? She had that one song.
That wasn't her song, and it never got released.
Why Benzino still took it? Who was?
Was it Benzino?
Was it him? Or was it Rich? Was it Rich?
Did he take it? Rich. And gave it to Olivia. But my thing is, it's like, you've been on this show for 10 plus years, and what do you have to show for it other than babies, clout chasing, and head assery? Nothing.
And teeth.
Child, listen, we ain't gonna talk about teeth, because if my shits look like that, I'm beating my dentist the fuck up.
Yeah, okay, but her shits do not look good at all. If you got all that money to spend, you telling me that you had to get them size maximum? You're crazy.
And then my thing is, you in Atlanta, it's not like you can't go to Heavenly Kimes and get you a reality star special.
Well, Heavenly ain't gonna take her now.
No, absolutely not. And the crazy thing is, she got big ass teeth and she look like a fucking chimpanzee, as quiet as a fucking cat. You the monkey faced one, bitch.
Oh.
Well, you know.
But
I have no comment on that, but you know.
But it's like, you look at these people on these shows and it's like, and I get, like, the whole reality thing, it's you have to do the most to maximize your time. That way you can come back next season. You see it on all of these reality shows. It's chasing the most clout, doing the most, getting the most fanfare on social. And that is pretty much your resume when your contract comes up for renewal. It's, look how many hits I got this past season. Look how many live tweets I got. But it's like, after a while, bitch, this shit ain't for, you know, MTV and the actual masses. You are coming on this platform with Zeus Network behavior. And you can't even
be on Tubi.
YouTube. You know what I'm saying? It's very gutter.
You can make money on YouTube, man. You make money.
I mean, you can make money on YouTube. You can make money on...
Yeah, but on Love & Hip Hop, I feel like you gotta act a fool and you gotta basically tarnish your image to stay on.
That's what Jesse Wu said.
Yeah, and it's Jesse like, that's not said, right. Like, I thought the show was just following the lives of almost artists. You know what I mean?
Or established artists that are trying to have a return.
Yeah, and I thought it was them trying to get their career back, and it's just a reality show. I know it was gonna turn into whatever this is. Like, oh, you got people being racist, you got people just fighting, and it's always about baby daddy this and this person. I was like, what is this? Is this the Real Housewives, but just with hip hop artists?
It's the Real Birds. It's like, the Real Birds of Atlanta. And it's really bad because it's like, you look at how long these particular franchises have been running, right? And the amount of artists that have come out, there's only two that have really done anything with the platform. Hey, Michelle.
Yep.
Cardi B. And Cardi.
Yep, those are the only two.
Listen, Cardi came, did, got her tens, got her money, and deuced them the fuck out. Because she was not, like, again, she wasn't beat for acting the entire fool on a regular basis. That shit is tiring. Like, I look at Erica, who's older than me.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm 36, going to be 37. She's at least 38. Girl, you pushing 40, acting like you 17 on TV.
And that's what kills me, too. It's like, you got all these grown people acting like they in high school. I'm like, y'all mentality never left high school. Like, it's still stuck there.
Like, well, where's the elevation?
She's still like the same for when she first came on Love & Hip Hop, when she got her...
No, she don't. No, she acts the same, but she don't look the same.
I remember seeing her in the...
No, remember, she started with Kim Bella, and she called the cops. Remember, she started there and called the cops and everything? When she started with Kim Bella on New York City, when she first
came... Oh, yeah. But she even started before that. You know, she really got her show start?
Oh, yeah. It was another show, right? Who was it?
Kim and Courtney Take Miami.
Oh, yeah, they
You worked in a dash store, girl.
Oh, yeah. And remember, she was the extra. She was the lead girl in Chris Brown's video. That's when I remember her from.
In the Yo video, right?
Yeah, looking all young and no work
done. I remember that somebody posted on TikTok.
Yeah, and it's like...
I didn't remember that.
It really just... The way she came on the show was very much messy. Feathered and bird. She was a bird.
Messy.
And now she's just a bird with a little money.
Still messy.
Still messy, still a bird brain, still stupid, still doing dumb shit.
And you still, know, I hope, and for real, I hope this joint humbles her. I really do.
I hope she comes out of it a better person, but she'll never have the same notoriety she once had.
Yeah, I was like, you're not marketable no more, not after this.
Ever.
I hope this humbles you. I really do.
Me too, because I don't know what Tubi is paying. You know, they will be... Now, I'm guessing, I don't know what they're paying. Like, they
listen,
Love & Hip Hop is paying way more, but I don't know.
Yeah, I bet.
They do, but they don't make a lot of money.
What, Love & Hip Hop or Tubi?
Either or. Love & Hip Hop folks don't make a lot of money. I don't think they get like 50 G's a season.
No.
Nobody worth 50 G's on there. Nobody worth it.
Like, that's all I'm saying. Because to be honest, it's like, all
name a big star that's on there.
Yeah. My name Rashida. I rap like Shorty Low. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? For real, I'll be honest, it probably is Spice.
Spice is the only one. And again, she's an established artist that's still making...
That's what I'm saying. I think she's the biggest.
I was shaking some ass of Spice yesterday, vacuuming my floor. You saw me like it. That's my shit. But, don't play with me. My neighbors be sick of my shit. But, windows open and everything.
But I just want to say, guys, we're gonna end this. Thank y'all. We are at time. Thank you for coming on and talking about, you know, different freestyle topics. Anybody out there struggling with their mental health? There's a suicide prevention crisis 9988. If you are struggling, you can call them. They are there for you 365 days. If you're bored, lonely, depressed, and need someone to talk to, especially with the holidays coming up, you know, make sure you call that number. And I want to say thank you, Ahmad and Ivan. Thank you guys so much.
No, thank you. This was fun.
Thank you for having us. This was fun. You know, I like a good time to run my mouth and talk some shit. So this was awesome.